Appreciate that.
Okay, your Bibles, we invite your attention this morning to the book of Philippians. Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. We're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. And the Bible says, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessings you give us. God, we ask that you'd help us today as we try to preach. Help us to be found faithful to you. Help us to put you first. Help us to love you more. Help us love ourselves less. And God, I pray that all be done be for your glory. If there be one here this morning that's lost, God, I ask and pray that you'd save them before it's eternally too late. God, I pray if there be one here today that's saved and maybe they're backslid and walking a guilty distance from you, God, I pray that you'd be with them. God, help us to love you. Help us to serve you better. For the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, of course, last week we talked about being light bearers. Well, God willing, today we're going to continue that thought. And it's going to be mostly talking about holding forth the gospel. Now, I want you to look at verse 16, starting there, and it says, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, that word, or that phrase, I should say, holding fast, those two words. Now, I want you to understand, as I've read this week, I've come to find that this can mean something else. As a matter of fact, it probably is even a little stronger in this statement here. Literally, holding fast means holding forth. And what does that mean? Holding forth, and it says here again, holding fast or holding forth the word of life. Now, this is talking about literally holding forth the word of life, about offering the word of life, which is the gospel. And it's offering to those in need. And I want you to understand this, folks. Whenever we take the gospel of Christ and we preach it, we witness it, we talk to others of it, in a very real sense, we are holding it forth, offering the gospel of Christ. Now, I want you to understand something, folks. There's two extremes people go to. Some people say, well, we don't have the power to offer the gospel. No, we don't have the power in the sense that the Spirit of God's got to do a work and draw someone to do a work in their heart and bring them to Christ. We get that. But understand, God has told us in His Word to take the gospel to every creature. So understand, in a very real sense, humanly speaking, and on the human responsibility, we have a responsibility to take the gospel and to offer it to others. I can remember growing up in church. Matter of fact, I've been in church my whole life, literally. And I can remember those pastors standing up and preaching the gospel. Then I can remember Sunday school teachers teaching the gospel. I can remember my parents talking to me about the gospel. And in a very real sense, they were offering the gospel. But understand something, folks. Then you have the other extreme where they do not believe, or they believe that it's 100% your free will. I do believe in free will. But I want you to understand something, folks. Free will, you're only free to act within your nature. And let me explain it like this. Do I have, now nothing is hindering me from climbing to the top of this church building and putting a few, gluing a few feathers on myself and start flapping my arms saying I'm going to fly. But here's the thing. Is it in the nature of a man to be able to fly in and of himself? No. He can't do it. Understand something, folks. It is not within man's nature to be able of his own self without God doing a work in his heart, convicting him of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, and working in his heart and bringing him to Christ. You can't do it. Now, there is a responsibility, though, for me to take the gospel and tell others of Jesus. See, folks, here's the thing. Man's responsible. God does the saving. It's just that plain and simple. That's the way it is from beginning to end. You do not have a part in it. It is all 100% God. Now, notice this too. Holding forth the word of life. We know that this is usually talking about the word, okay, in the Bible. Usually is a reference to the Bible. And that is accurate. Matter of fact, you can find this reference in Revelation, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, you've got to have the Bible preached. And of course, then we find in another place, it talks about the word. It talks about the living word. That's talking about Jesus. John 1:1. Let's turn over there real quick. I'm going to butcher that just as sure as the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word talking about here? It's talking about Jesus Christ. So, understand this. We have the written word, which is the Bible. And it speaks of the living word, who is Christ. But then we come over here to Philippians chapter 2. And it says in verse 16, notice, holding forth the word of life. So what is the word of life? The word of life, in a nutshell, of course, is Jesus Christ, but in particular, it's talking about the gospel. You've got to have the gospel. And what is the gospel? Remember, the gospel is all about Jesus. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, we're going to give a summation of it. The gospel of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Where do you find anything in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, anything about man doing anything? It talks about Jesus. He did it all from beginning to end. See, folks, the gospel of Christ is just that. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the good news of Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon today, get this. The Word of God, the written Word, the Bible, tells us of the living Word, and it is the living Word who is the Word of life, and it is through His gospel that you're saved. It's pretty simple. Now, let me also say this too. Who is it that needs to be saved? Sinners. Let me tell you right now, folks, too many times we have made it, and I want you to understand what I'm saying here when I'm talking about easy believism, okay? I believe that when God deals with your heart, He makes it easy to believe, okay? I'll put it like that. But let me also say this too. Easy believism is anything where it takes out the work of God. Listen, you're not saved by baptism. I want you to understand that plain and clear. Baptism will not save you. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 6 makes that very clear, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Let me also say this too, folks. Being a church member will not save you. Won't do it. A lot of people are dependent on their names being on the rolls of a church, but their names is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me tell you something else. Salvation is not in your good works. The Bible makes it very clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're saved to do, not by doing. Now, let me also say this, folks. Just simply signing a card at church will not save you. Won't do it. You see, too many people have put their faith and trust in something they've done, or maybe what their parents have done, or their grandparents have done, or whatever. We don't believe in a covenantal salvation in the sense that because your parents are saved, that somehow or another it gets transferred to you. It don't happen. Now, what is it that saves? Or who is it that saves? It's Christ and Him alone. Putting your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Calling upon His name, asking Him to save you. It's that simple. Now, let's get back on track here. Go back with me to verse 16. Now it says, holding fast the word of life. Now, notice that, holding fast the word of life, then we continue on. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, notice this, as it says, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Now, the day of Christ is talking about when the Lord returns. Now, my question for you is this, who is it that can truly rejoice in that day? Can a lost person rejoice when Christ returns? No. Lost person can't, because you know what? They have nothing to rejoice in. Matter of fact, if anything, at that day, they'll be weeping and crying out for God to be merciful. And the fact of the matter is, God has been merciful that He allowed them to live as long as He did. So, who is it that can truly rejoice at the return of the Lord? God's people. Those that have been saved. I want you to think about this. Have you ever thought about when the Lord returns? What's that going to be like? You know, I understand that there's a sense, and I want you to get what I'm saying here. There's a sense of trepidation because it's the unknown. It's never happened to us before. It's like dying. I'm not scared of death, okay? I'm really not. But I'll be honest with you, I'm a little trepidatious about how I die. You know, death doesn't scare me because Christ overcome that. He's overcame death, hell, and the grave. But here's the difference. I've never died before. I don't look forward to how that may happen. Listen, I hope and pray, and I think I've said this here before, I hope it happens in my sleep. Man, how nice that would be. But you know, there's a lot of ways I can't even imagine dying. That'd be tough. But here's the thing. I do look forward to Christ coming back. I am excited about that. But you know what? I can't imagine, because I don't understand my feelings, how I'd be at that time except joyful. Because it's never happened before. You get what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say? Maybe I'm as clear as mud. But here's the thing, folks. We as God's people, we should be joyful at that thought. I'm looking forward to that time. I'm excited about when Christ comes back for me. But then notice in this verse, it continues on, says, I may rejoice in the day of Christ. He says that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know the word vain means empty. Just nothing. There's nothing to it. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, even in the Hebrew there, it talks about vanity of vanities and so forth. It just talks about being empty. There's nothing really to it. Well, here's the thing, I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What does that mean? That he's not done what he's done for emptiness. That it has no good for it. You know, that he's been spending his time chasing foolish things that don't amount to a hill of beans. Listen, you all know that we enjoy as a family football. We enjoy that. But you know something? Let me tell you something about football. Football is fine in its place. But let me tell you something. If you let it get in the way of your service to God, it becomes an idol. And it's foolish. It's vain. You know, everyone in Kentucky, for the most part, not everyone, but for the most part, in general, they love Kentucky basketball. They go gaga over the Cats. Listen, that's fine in its place. It's all right to watch the games and enjoy them, but to worship them like some people do, it's vain. It's empty. It's worthless. But you know what? That can be the same way with sports. It can be the same way with work. You know, work is necessary. But if it becomes an idol to you, then you know what? It's worthless. What's it going to do for you whenever it comes to eternity? And we could go on and on and on about different things. Paul was not worried. He was not worried about all these foolish things in the world. He wanted to make sure that he was doing right and that what he did counted for something. Listen, I want my life to count for something. I want, whenever I stand before God, I want it to be that as God, I have to give an account for my ministry. That there's some things that's not just wood, hay, and stubble, but that it is precious jewels. I can cast them at the feet of Christ and say, worthy is the Lamb. That's what we should desire. Now, I want you to look at verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. As Paul is talking here, he gives the idea that the church of Philippi, us, should have an attitude of mutual joy that ought to accompany any sacrificial service that we or anyone else gives. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to look in verse 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Being poured out means to be offered as a drink offering. And understand, Paul could have very well been talking about his future martyrdom, where he was dying for the cause of Christ. Maybe, but he's probably in reference talking about others who have sacrificially given of themselves. I want you to think about this, folks. How many of y'all know who Jim Elliot is? Love Jim Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot. Man, just godly folks. Jim Elliot, along with some other guys, went to the Aucan Indians in Peru. And he literally gave himself, as well as the other men. Nate Van Saint, I believe, was another one there. And they ended up giving of themselves for the gospel. After they died, after they were killed, Elizabeth Elliot and some of the other ladies that were widows went and lived among these people for the gospel's sake. And God saved those very people, those headhunters, those cannibals that killed Jim Elliot and those men. God saved them through the testimony and the sacrificial service of Jim Elliot and his family and others with him. You know, a lot of people think of Jim Elliot as one who gave sacrificially. Think about Elizabeth. Here she was taking her children to live amongst these people. And that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Well, what woman in their right mind would take their children? No. Let me put it this way. What a lady with the mind of Christ went and lived with those people. That'd be hard to do. But there they were. They preached the gospel. They taught the gospel. They lived the gospel before them. And God saved them. You see, this sacrificial service is something that we've all been called to. Sacrifice is more than just giving of your life, and certainly that is the ultimate sacrifice. But what about sacrificing of yourself, your own wants, your own needs, your own desires, to follow the will and plan and purpose of God in your life? What about giving of your own talents and abilities and finances for the glory of God? That's sacrificial giving. And giving of yourself. And this drink offering, of course, would refer to the... there would be times there would be animal sacrifices. What they do, they get wine. And it's wine, by the way. And they would have this sacrifice. And they'd be a burnt offering stuff. Then they would get that wine and they would pour on top of it. And what it would do is that steam that would rise up off that, it would come off. We'll make sure I get this right. And the wine, as it was vaporizing, the steam symbolized the rising of the offering to God for whom the sacrifice was made. Paul looked at his life as a drink offering. And here he says that it was poured out, his life, as sacrificial service. Now the word service, as it continues on, says service of your faith, comes from a word that refers to sacred or priestly service. And Paul sees the Philippians as priests who are offering their lives both sacrificially and faithfully in service to God. And I want to stop right here for just a second. Can this be said of us? No, let me rephrase that. I'm going to ask this of myself. Can this be said of me? I want you to ask yourself that same question. Can this be said of you? This is what God has called us to be. It's not about us. It's not about our wants. It's not about our desires. And you know what? There's a lot of things that it may not be wrong for us to do. But if God has called us to do something better, then that's what we ought to do. Now, let's continue on here. In verse 18. For the same reason, now, excuse me, goes says, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Verse 18. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul makes it clear in this verse that the same reason that the Philippians should rejoice, we should rejoice. Rejoice with one another in our sacrificial service to God. Listen, there's things we do as a church and as individuals that sometimes it doesn't make sense. But if God has called us to do it, then that's all that matters. And we should be willing to give of ourselves for that. Now, here's the question I have for you today. If you're here and you're lost, I want you to understand. That you need to understand there is the ultimate sacrifice that was given. It's Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried the third day. He rose again the third day for our sins. And if you're here and you're lost, and you know you're a sinner, you need to trust Him. You need to believe in that sacrifice, that He did it for you. And that all that call upon His name, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Call upon Him. Know that your sins are forgiven and that heaven's your home. Let's all stand. Come and, well, I'll lead us in a verse of invitation. If Jan wants to come up and play, we'll sing one verse. Oh, never mind. They got it right here. What song?
Go ahead and turn number 294. 294.